All right. God bless you guys. Love you guys all. And, you know, just God just been working in my heart to share about believing, you know. And it's one of those simple things that seem to be complicated sometimes. But the more we learn about God, the more we learn about ourselves. And it makes it a lot easier to sit in his lap and receive the believing that he has already given us. So I just want to read a quick scripture right quick, and then I'll get into my teaching. But it says Ephesians 3 and verse 12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence and by the faith of him. So when I'm talking about believing, you need to understand that the thing is that not your believing, it's the accomplished purpose of what Jesus Christ already has done. So when we're believing from the standpoint of Jesus Christ. So what is believing? By definition, believing is to be persuaded, to rely upon, and or to trust. So to believe or trust what? God and his word. Why should we trust God's word? Because he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son because he loves us. And because he gave his only begotten son, that's who we follow, that's who we have inside of us, and that's what we believe in. So if we believe that, then why is it so hard for us to believe God will take care of us, God will take care of all our needs, God will protect us, even though he just told us that in the manifestations. And it's just really, really, really encouraging to my heart to believe God, and he will take care of us what we need. Because this life is a spiritual battle. And if you don't believe that, we are here as spiritual beings. And is God and the devil and everything else in between is meant to be a distraction. And the thing is that you can only fight spirit with spirit. So, and this is some of my favorite verses coming up. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm sure you guys are aware of where I'm going. So turn to 6, verses 10 through 11. So let's see. And I'm using the Majira Aramaic version. So verse 10, it says, from now on, now since we believe in Christ, and we believe that God loves us and that he is the Son of God, Christ is, then we can believe this. It says, from now on, my brothers, be strong in our Lord. And in the power, I like this word, immensity of his power. And that word immensity is the extremely large size or scales or extent of something. So God is, he loves us with an immensity. We can't even see how far and how big and how wide and how deep he is. But we will one day. So, you know, there's this, from now on, let me see, okay, and put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the tactics of the accuser. Now, the accuser, Satan, adversary, however you want to token him, he's still a chump, but he's already under our feet. And there's nothing he can do with doing it. But he's a schemer. And what is a scheme? Webster says it's to form plans, or a plan or program of action, a crafty or secret one. So the devil is planning or programming crafty, systematic secrets to kill, steal, or destroy your life. And, you know, we got to take this word of God seriously, because it's our life. And God wants it to be an easier ride, but he says, hey, you're going to have troubles in this life. So, because that is the adversary's nature, and he does not want you, you know, he does not want you being successful, being joyous, having the peace that God says you have and that you deserve, because you are in his hands. I am in his hands. So he can use that devil. He can use anybody or anything against you. He can use people, circumstances, situations, whatever it is, to distract or deter you and try to destruct your life. The reality of who you are, and attempt to talk you out of it if you let him. Now, because it's a spiritual battle, go back to Ephesians. Stay right there. And it's 10 through 12 again. So from now on, my brothers, be strong in the Lord, in the immensity of his power, and put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the tactics of the accuser, because your struggle is not with flesh and blood. So every time I get into an argument with someone, or I feel tempted to get into an argument with someone, I have to be mindful that it's not them. So I got to look behind what's affecting them in the moment. And it's probably an evil spirit or little minions that don't even know what they're doing. And put on the whole armor of God, because the struggle is not with flesh and blood. It's with rulers. It's with authorities. It's with possessors of this dark world, and with evil spirits that are under heaven. So stand. Because of this, put on the whole armor of God. Because we don't ever forget to put our shoes on, do we? Some people do. I don't. But so that we will be able to engage the evil one, and being prepared in everything, you will stand firm. Verse 13, sorry. Therefore, verse 14, stand and gird up your waist with truthfulness, and put on the breastplate of justification, and bind as a sandal on your feet the goodness of God, the gospel of peace. So, first, you must believe that it's a spiritual battle before you can do anything. Second, you have to believe that it's a spiritual battle so that you can walk on that. And anytime he comes at you, you have an answer. So that's why it's important to be able to memorize scripture, repeat scripture over and over again in your head and your mind, and speak it out in your life. So here we go. Chapter 6:16 is where I'm going to start it. And then it says, and with these, take to you the shield of faith, blocking something, blocking the fiery darts, because he comes every day. And by which you will be empowered with strength to quench the fiery darts, arrows of the evil one, because he's not going to stop ever. So we got to do our job to stand and tell everybody else about it as well. And set your head, the helmet of redemption, and take hold of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the only thing that strikes back is the Word. That's the only thing that you see as aggressive in this, in these scriptures right here. So you take the sword of the Spirit. If Jesus Christ spoke the Word whenever he was attacked, what do you think we should be doing? Not freaking out. Just stand peacefully. So what is it to be that we as believers are to believe? All right, turn to Hebrews. And 4:12. Excuse me, I got a little thing in my throat. But the word says this: for the word of God is living and completely effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. So it protects you when it enters, and protects you going out. Enters in all the way of the separation, to the separation of the soul, mind, and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow and of the bones. It judges and judges the reasoning and the thought of the heart. So that's pretty powerful. I mean, I don't know if you guys know how hard it is to separate the joints and the marrow from your body. Very, very, very hard. But so that is what Jesus Christ died for, so that the Word could get in our bones, the Word could get in our soul and our spirit, because we have. So if you're having a hard time still believing, turn to Ephesians 2:8. And it says, for by grace we were redeemed by faith. And it's just, and this is not from yourselves, but it's a gift of God. Because when you first get saved, you know, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he died and God raised him from the dead. Now you're saved. But now what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to let it sit there? Because we can only... God will only do so much. We have to use what he's already given us. And so you are saved already in faith or believing, and it's not of yourself. You know what believing is also, is it's self-surrendering fellowship with God first, then others. And when we self-surrender to God, we'll begin to see how much access we have to him, because we're not following, you know, or focusing on ourselves. We're focusing on God. And when we are caught in the middle of a roaring lion situation, you know, you got cancer, you know, you got diabetes, whatever you want. All the things that pull a shock to our bodies initially. But once we remember that we have the Spirit of God in us and he loves us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us or drop us. We can focus on that and really believe it. So the roaring lion, he has no teeth. He just roars so that he can scare you and stop you in the tracks. So we should have the attitude of David when he ran at the giant, Goliath. So when the lion's in our face roaring, we got to have boldness to run to God peacefully. And we can still be peaceful despite the situations or circumstances because we have boldness to God. So Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access in the confidence of his faith. Not our faith, his faith. So we got to lean on that. Lean on that understanding. And if you're having a hard time with that, keep pushing. Keep leaning. Because Jesus Christ already accomplished our believing. So we can utilize that with by boldness. So Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. Believing. And you build your believing by staying in the Word. Staying in the Word. And as you go, you just notice that things are just taken out of your way that you didn't even think about. But it's because you're not focusing on you. You're focusing on God. But we must hold in the times that are compelling or challenging or situations that where you feel like he's still roaring at you. Because God wants us to draw to him believingly. So Hebrews 10:22-23 says, therefore we should come near with a steadfast heart, with confidence of faith, of believing, our hearts being sprinkled and pure from an evil conscience, and our body washed with pure water. And we should persist in the confession of our hope. What is our hope? That God's word is true, and if you used it, you know it's true, and that we're hoping when he comes back, Jesus Christ. That's the hope. And we should persist in our confession of our hope, and we should not waver. But sometimes, it gets hard. It gets frustrating to a degree. But am I looking to myself or am I looking to God at that point? Myself. So, and for he is the faithful God who promised us. And we should not gaze on one another and we should gaze on one another with the encouragement and to love and good works. So when we're looking at each other, we've got to just see the love, the encouragement, the light in people's eyes, the love in their hearts. You know, they might look different than yours, but it doesn't matter. Ours is from God. It's all good. So Hebrews 11, not going too far. All right. Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is the persuasion concerning those things that are in hope. In hope. If they had in fact happened, and the evidence of those things that are not seen. And in this, there's a testimony about the ancient ones. And for by faith, we understand that the ages were prepared by the word of God. Those things that are seen were from those things that are not seen. So by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice that was more excellent than Cain to God. And because of it, there's a testimony about him. And he was upright, and God testified to his offering because of it. Although he is dead, he speaks. By faith, Enoch was removed and did not taste death. And he was not found because God had removed him from before he removed him. There was a testimony about him, and it pleased God. So we must as well be diligent about our faith and the seeking of God and the time we spend with God, the meditation of his word, because that's how we build our believing and trust to him, by spending time with him, by reading his word, by speaking in tongues, all the things that we know that are gifts, because he gives to us and he adds more to us. So, in closing, I want to say that, so let the word of God, the wisdom of God, begin to influence your thinking. Soak your mind up in it. Don't just scan it lightly. Dig in it. Learn it. Memorize it. Meditate in it. Take it seriously, because the devil is definitely about him taking himself seriously and destroying our lives. So I just want to remind us, God's word, his plan is fantastic. We just have to go to God and his word and accept it. And as we begin to accept it more and more, and then we begin to walk in it more and more, and we will begin to recognize it more and more. God bless you. Believe that God is.
Hey, Mike, would you have a closing word of prayer, please?
Absolutely. Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy and your word that is just laid all right there for us. And that, I mean, this is the best book we could ever read in our lives, and continue to read, and their promises are still true. They still work all the time. You know, we can pick up a worldly book and then, you know, maybe get some good information, but it's nothing like your word, Father. And just thank you. And I'm sorry to you guys. I kind of mumbled a little bit earlier. But anyway, thank you, Father, for taking care of that as well. You know, and just thank you for your grace and your mercy. And thank you for everybody that's on the call, everybody that's not on the call. Thank you for their hearts. Thank you for their service to you. Thank you for their love for you and your people. And thank you that we can just go out and, you know, you tell us what to do. So in situations where we're challenged, help us to stand and get our eyes off ourselves and get them onto you, because you are the only one that has the answers. So we, you know, need to memorize the word more if that's what we need to do. But in situations and circumstances of challenge and controversy, help us to stand still, because we know that you are God. So we thank you and we love you, and we ask you for this in the wonderful, wonder-working name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.